individuals headed for a devil's hell. That's where we'd be without God's word. Amen. So I'm very thankful for the word of God tonight. Thankful for the testimonies tonight of what God is doing. Appreciate Brother Jason's story tonight. Amen. And I appreciate him mentioning Italian cream cake. Oh, we didn't get much response out of that. Hey, it's good stuff, buddy. Amen. I'm looking forward to the three cakes that are coming. That's faith. You know that, right? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. All right. Grant, would you come help me pass these out? Tiernan, would you pass out the ink pens over there in that bucket? Amen. Thanks, sir. So as Jason said, it's a servant's attitude number three. Have you survived servant's attitude number one? Have you survived servant's attitude number two? If you have, then I'll get you with this one. No, it's just God's word. It's just the truths of the kingdom of God. It's just bringing us into remembrance of what God has done for us and what he wants to continue to do in our hearts and our lives. And just as these different ones have testified about slaying the giants. Amen. And that's just a metaphorical type of referring to the attacks of the enemy, the strongholds of the enemy, and then how God has brought them down. Amen. As they have reached to God. See, that's the most important factor right there. And whether you caught it in the testimonies or not, they were reaching to God. They were praying. They were seeking God. They were calling on God. And that's what slew the giant. Hallelujah. Praise God. What was that? Well, that was a decision that was made. Amen. To lay a hold of the kingdom of God for the purpose of strength and growth. Amen. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. All right, you can just set them on that table right there, if you would, Grant. Thank you. You can put yours back in the bucket, I guess. Thank you. Thank you, boys. Amen. Okay. The servant's attitude number three. Serious Servants Institute, School of Ministry. 1 John 3:7 again tonight. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. Referring to Jesus Christ and referring to you and me. The reality is if I'm in Jesus, then I'm going to be doing righteousness. Amen. 1 John 4:17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Didn't get to preach it this morning, but I'll preach it sooner or later. The righteous judge. But in the day of judgment, we can have boldness, and that means we can have confidence because our love has been made perfect, because we are striving, can I put it like this? To slay the giants. Amen. We're striving to be as he is in this world, because as he is, so are we in this world. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ is not asking of us anything that he is not. Hallelujah. And because he is, and the rewarder of those that diligently seek him, praise God, then you and I can become like him. Praise the Lord. I mean, who else would you want to be like? Who else would you want to be like tonight? You want to be like some guy in Hollywood, some woman in Hollywood? I mean, who would you rather be like? Amen. I want to be like Jesus. And we're dealing with attitude. Attitude can be good or it can be bad. Attitude is a position assumed for a specific purpose. In other words, when we say a position, in other words, a stand, or a stance. In other words, we're standing for Jesus Christ. That's the right attitude. Amen. Hallelujah. We're standing in love. We're standing in His power. And we are assuming this position for the specific purpose of exalting Him and glorifying His name. Amen. So our attitude is taking that position for that specific purpose of bringing Him glory. It's a settled way of thinking. Amen. We got to think right to live right. Our feeling or feeling about someone or something, and so it's our settled way of thinking and our settled way of feeling about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, typically one that is reflected in a person's behavior. Think right, you'll live right. Amen. Think about Jesus Christ, want to be like Jesus Christ, and you will be conformed to Jesus Christ. Amen. I mean, why? Because that, if that's your desire, God's promise is that He would grant you your desires. Amen. Well, I don't know, Brother Pepper. I've had some desires God hasn't granted. Praise God. Hallelujah. Because He's not going to give you something that's going to send you off in the wrong direction, but He's going to give you everything that will draw you closer unto Him. After all, that is the desire of the servant of the Lord. Amen. To be drawn closer unto Jesus Christ. And so we see then we've got to have the proper attitude, the proper way of thinking, because if we have the wrong attitude, we'll be eager or quick to argue or to fight. We'll become aggressively defiant and uncooperative in our behavior. We'll have a resentful and an antagonistic manner. Don't you just love it when you meet folks like that? Amen. Don't you just love it when you act like that? Oh, Did I say that? No, we don't act that way. Why? Because we're serious servants of the Lord. We've positioned ourselves for the specific purpose of serving Jesus Christ, and we have settled our way of thinking to the fact that we are going to abide in God's Word and be obedient thereunto. Amen. So that's the right attitude. We don't argue with God. We don't fight against God. We don't become defiant against authority over our lives. Not a serious servant of the Lord. Amen. Now, really, the bottom line, you're seeing the difference between a child of God and a child of the devil. Because you're either one or the other. You can't be both. It don't work that way. You're either a child of God, sold out, surrendered, and ready to serve Him, or you're a child of the devil. And so the choice is ours. It's not the devil's choice. It's not really God's choice. It's our choice. Choose you this day whom you will serve. See, that's the choice. That's the cry that goes out across the world today. Choose you whom you will serve. And a multitude have chosen the devil. They won't say they've chosen the devil, but we'll get to it here in a little bit, but their actions speak louder than their words. So tonight I want to deal with a servant's attitude toward worship. Worship. Now tonight's not going to go the way you think it's going to go. Actually tonight, this is just really the prelude to the fullness of this. There's going to be attitude 4 and attitude 5 and attitude 6, I'm sure. And maybe some more, because attitude is what it's all about. It is all about attitude. It is all about how I think, the way I think. Oh, wow. Because once again, how I think, that's how I am. And because I can't think one way and be something different. That's what that scripture is talking about. No man can serve two masters. He's going to cling to the one and despise the other one. You can't serve God and mammon. No. You got to cling to Jesus Christ, Him and Him alone. Hallelujah. And that's the right attitude that we must have. So tonight in Matthew chapter 4, verse number 10, then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Amen. So notice in this scripture, I've underlined worship, and I'm wishing I would have underlined serve also, because they go hand in hand. And actually, they are synonyms. That's what we're going to get into tonight. And in John chapter 4, and I want you to notice who Jesus is dealing with here in Matthew chapter 4. Who's he dealing with? No. Matthew chapter 4. Who's he dealing with? Satan. Jesus saith unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written. He is dealing face to face with Satan. He's dealing face to face with Lucifer. He's dealing face to face with the devil. These are just different names of the same created creature that is the enemy of mankind and the enemy of God. Now, he's going to be dealt with at the appointed time, he's going to be dealt with, and he's going to be dealt with severely. And just like all of us are going to be dealt with at an appointed time, we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ, and we're going to have to give an account for our behavior as a Christian. Oh, we forget about that so quickly, don't we? We don't think that our deeds and our actions and our misbehavior is going to be recorded because we've been washed in the blood, but you haven't read your Bible real close. Every deed and every work and every word we say has been written down as a child of God even. It's not a matter of whether or not we're going to make heaven or not make heaven in that circumstance. It's a matter of whether you're going to have a cottage in the valley or a mansion on the hill. For whatever treasure you lay up in heaven, many believe and many have said that's what your mansion's going to be built out of. Some may just have a stick hut. I don't know for sure. Others are going to have a great mansion decked down with jewels of unknown riches because of their full surrender to Jesus Christ on the face of the earth. I really believe those that were burned at the stake because they were trying to get the Word of God into the hands of men and women, they're going to have a mansion on the hill. Hallelujah. Because they laid it all down for the cause of Jesus Christ. Some of us can't even lay our phone down for the cause of Jesus Christ. Oh, wow. Where'd that come from? Woo! That came from heavens where that came from, and you need to pay attention to what God's saying. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's part of worship. If you didn't know that, we're going to get there. Oh, this is just so good. I am so sorry. See, I've already been from the beginning to the end. Praise God. But anyway, praise God. I'm just thoroughly blessed. Amen. Because this Serious Servants Institute probably has done more for me than anybody else in this room of helping me realize I've got a job to do, and time is running short. Amen. So I got to get over this silly emotion that I might offend you when I tan your hide. No, I'm just joking. Praise God. I'm not trying to tan anybody's hide. I am just trying to share God's word and get a full understanding of what worship is about in this lesson here tonight. Because Jesus told the devil, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And so, don't think it's strange if the devil's trying to come to you with his forces. I really don't think any of us in here are worthy of the devil himself coming to knock on our door. I don't think we're that big enough a threat. I'm sorry. I wouldn't either, sis. Very rarely are you going to have Satan himself visit you unless you are really on fire for God, serving God, and on an offense against the powers of darkness. Amen. But you're going to have his lies come in your direction and his attack to get your attitude in the wrong direction by all the demonic forces and the principalities and the powers of the air that can speak to your mind. And so don't think it's strange when it happens, because he came against Jesus Christ also. But just pay real close attention to the fact that Jesus used the Word of God to put him in his place. Whew. Praise God. That is why it's so important to know God's Word and God's truth. That way when the devil comes trying to trip you up and turn it around backwards and try to let you think you can get away with sin by not understanding God's Word properly, hello, that you can set him straight and tell it to him just like it really is. This is why it's so important to be filled with the Holy Ghost of God also. Amen. John 4:22, now it's a little woman at the well. Ye worship ye know not what. Don't you know that probably really upset her when he said that? Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers, say that with me, true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen. Now these words that we've just read out of Matthew and John chapter 4 are the Greek word, and I'm not a Greek scholar by any means, and I really haven't found too many folks, and I've never met a Greek scholar that could tell me exactly how to pronounce a Greek word. But you have it written on your piece of paper so you can give it your best shot in your own mind. Praise God. But this Greek word, number 4352, according to Strong's Concordance. Amen. I'll just call it 4352. It's taken from 4314 and 2965. Amen. And it's kind of got a meaning. Don't get offended here. But it's meaning to kiss like a dog licking his master's hand. In other words, it's talking about bowing down and kissing the hand of Jesus Christ. Amen. And we don't have that custom in America towards a king because we don't have a king. And because we don't have a king and we really don't fully understand kingship and being underneath a king, sometimes we don't reverence Jesus Christ as a king like we ought to. Because that's how we should approach Jesus Christ. Humbly. Humbly. Doesn't mean you have to bow down on your knee every time, but it does mean you have to humble your heart. Amen. God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Whoa. The proud, they never want to admit their mistake. The proud, they never want to say they're wrong. The proud never want to hear instruction from authorities. And God resisteth the proud. But those that will humble their heart and say, Lord, forgive me, for I have messed up again. Forgive me, for I have allowed pride to enter into my life again. Forgive me, Lord, for I have not been an obedient child. Their grace will come their way. Those that rise up in defiance, what is defiance? It's the wrong attitude. That's the attitude of the devil, isn't it? Yeah, he's defiant towards God. And so we see then this word, this Greek word, is a word that means to humble, to kneel down, to crouch, to prostrate oneself in homage, in other words, reverence, to adore. And then here's the word that it was translated into in our King James Version Bible, worship. Worship. God seeking worshipers that will humble their hearts before him, honor him as a king, as the Lord of their lives, as the creator of their lives. You got to realize you wouldn't even be here without the creating power of God. And you'd not be saved without the finished work of Calvary. Hallelujah. So that's why we're not saved of works, lest we could boast and brag and look how good I am. That's because we're not that good at all. Even at our best, we're not really that good. I'm sorry. Compared to God Almighty and his holiness and his purity and his righteousness. But because of Jesus Christ, we can become a worshiper. of God and worship God in spirit and in truth. So here we see that it means humbling ourselves, bowing down, honoring, and kissing the hand of our Creator, if you will. Amen. That's what Jesus said, "Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God. Him only shalt thou serve." And that's what he told the little woman at the well. The true worshipers will bow before the Almighty God and be ready in submission and surrender. Wow. That's worship. Hallelujah. Matthew 15, verse number 8 and 9. Jesus said, "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." Be careful in this New Testament era that you want to call truth the commandments of men. Now, Jesus was dealing with some Pharisees who knew nothing about God other than having a knowledge of what they wanted to have a knowledge of, and they were trying to add to the commandments of God, not trying to get men to actually follow the commandments of God, but just adding to the commandments of God the things they wanted done by the people to benefit themselves. Now, that does happen today in many ministries. But what he's after is, "But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." And this Greek word, number 4576, is a middle voice of an apparently primary verb to revere, to adore, to be devout, to be religious, or worship. So, but in vain, they are devout to their religion about God. So you see, they were very serious about their own desires. And so their worship and their being devout and their being committed was to the wrong things and not to God. Not to God. And so this is another word for worship, and it's still talking about adoring and being devout. And so this word gives us the understanding that we are to be devout to God. We're to adore God. We are to revere God. See, they weren't doing it to God. They were doing it to their own ways. But Jesus is bringing it out. That's how you're supposed to worship God. That's how you're supposed to worship the Father. Amen. With adoration. With devotion. Hallelujah. With commitment. Praise God. Hallelujah. See, that's what worship is about. In Exodus 7 and 16, it says, "And thou shalt say unto him," and he's talking about Pharaoh here, "The Lord God of the Hebrews has sent me unto thee, saying, Let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness, and behold, hitherto thou wouldest not hear." Now this is the Hebrew word, 05647. It's not too bad, it's just abad. It means to work, by implication, to serve. And then it can even mean to till like ground, to enslave, or to keep in bondage. So in other words, it has many different uses. A bondman, bond service, compelled, do, dress, execute, husbandman, to keep, laboring, bring to pass, serving. And then I highlighted a few things like to work, to serve, servants, amen, worshiper. Worshipper. So here we're finding from this Hebrew word that a worshiper is someone that works. A worshiper of God is someone that works. I'm not just saying working in ministry, A worshiper of God is someone who works. The reality of a work ethic comes right from God Almighty. And a worshiper of God knows that work is pleasing to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to the King. To serve is worship. To serve, that means to obey, to do what you're told. I mean, you know, serving the Lord. And that was actually the word that was translated into the King James Version was serve me in the wilderness, because that worshiper was going to work for God, was going to work to please God, was going to serve God, was going to be compelled to do whatever God wanted done in the wilderness. Praise God. Amen. So a worshiper is somebody that wants to do whatever God wants to do in the wilderness. Amen. Amen. Sometimes life's not always easy. It's not easy at all most of the time. But a worshiper of God is going to work and serve Him no matter how hard it becomes. Hallelujah. Some of us have more tenacity than others. I don't know. Somehow I've been deemed someone with great tenacity. I don't know why. I mean, just because, you know, couch don't fit through the front door. I said, back up, it will. There's a door sitting out here in our storage shed that actually came off the front of my house when I put in a new door. And if you go look at it real close, there is a groove starting by the hinges about the middle of the door. There's a groove, and it goes all the way across the door. Why? Well, because we couldn't get it in the door real easy, I said, okay, here we go. And we went through the door. Told you it'd fit. I've got a little tenacity. I do. I have been born with tenacity. Amen. Not everybody has the same tenacity. I understand that. But you can pray and ask God for it, and He'll give you some, because I have to pray and ask God that He'll take some of mine away. So I'm praying for some of it to be taken away. You need to pray for more of it to be added so you can have some of mine if you want it. Praise God, because some of it I gotta give up, because sometimes you just need to relax. Realize it don't have to happen that way. Amen. But the reality is worship is linked to work. Worship is linked to being a servant. Worship is linked to serving. A worshiper is someone who works to serve Jesus Christ. Wow. Got to have the right attitude if you're going to have the right habits. Romans chapter 1, verse number 9. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of His Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. Notice whom I serve with my spirit. Hebrews 9 and 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Woo, hallelujah to the Lamb. Praise be to our God. This is a Greek word. We've looked at a Hebrew word about serve. We've looked at a Greek words about worship. We're looking at a Hebrew word here that was translated serve. And once again, it's number 3000. And you can do your own pronunciation of it. And it'll sound wonderful. It'll be great. A hired menial. That means someone on low, you know, in the rankings. To minister to God. Do you realize you don't have to be a per se pastor or preacher to minister to God? Every human being can minister to God, because it's part of worship. Hallelujah. To minister, amen, to God. To render religious homage. Serve. To do the service. Worship and worshiper. Hallelujah. And so we see here then, this is another word used and linked to worshiping God, to minister to God, to render to God the honor that's due His name, to serve the Lord with gladness, to do service for God. That is a worshiper of God. Amen. So we've got to have the right attitude about worship. Amen. Praise God. Now, definition. Worship. In the verb, in the transitive verb state, in other words, this speaks of action. Action. Not. I didn't really deal with the noun of worship because to me, worship's action. It's action. To adore. To pay divine honors to. Now, wow. In other words, just mediocre ain't going to get it done. Not for God. Oh, help me, Jesus. Hallelujah. To pay divine honors to reverence with supreme respect. Oh, wow. I mean, that's taking it to the realm past something that I'm actually capable of. So I'm going to have to be spirit-filled, hallelujah, and have a right attitude if I'm ever going to get anywhere close to this kind of worship. Amen, because this is what He wants. This is part of that worship in spirit and in truth, a supreme respect and veneration. Wow. To respect, to honor, to treat with civil reverence. And this next one, number three, to honor with extravagant love. I mean, love itself is self-sacrificing. But it says here, extravagant love. That means you're going to go above and beyond no matter how much it inconveniences you to please Him. That's worship. That's worship. Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. And extreme. Oh, man, this is a word they shout everywhere in the world. Extremeness, extremeness, extreme, extreme. Well, I'm shouting it tonight. Extreme submission. Whoa. I don't know if I've seen too many people who have extreme submission. You and I am so sorry, but we're living in such a generation, we struggle with just submission. And true worship is extreme submission. Oh, hallelujah. Praise be to our God. That means no matter how much it hurts, I'm following Jesus. Oh, the song you sung tonight, Sister Lydia, I love that song too. I'd never heard it before myself. Oh, man. That love for truth. Glory. Where's that come? That comes from above. That comes with a born-again experience. That comes with the baptism in the Holy Ghost. And that comes with the refilling of the Holy Ghost. And that comes when you're ready to slay giants. Hallelujah to the King. God is doing so much around here. It just amazes me. It's just amazing what God's doing. He's doing more than we can even imagine or think. Funny, that's His word, isn't it? To the Lamb. I mean, we look at some situations and we think, oh, this is crazy. This is so hard. This is so extreme. And then all of a sudden it just turns around and wow. That's God. That's the God we serve. That's why we can trust Him. That's why we can honor Him. That's why we can worship Him. That's why we can have extreme submission to our God, because that's when God can do great things. If we're ready to submit our emotions to Him. Pepper, that's easy for you to say. You're full of tenacity. Well, yeah, I am. And it is easy for me to say because it's right here in my notes. But it's no easier for me to do than you. It's just not easy to do, but that's when I got to go to the extreme. That's when I've got to be extravagant with my love. Sometimes it doesn't make any difference whether it's a sin or not. Sometimes God wants us to do some things that honor Him and bring more honor to Him. Wow, praise God. Extravagant love. Extreme submission. Worship. Worship is the giving of our entire self. Can we say that together? Worship is the giving of our entire self. Our thoughts. Once again, that's what attitude's all about, isn't it? Our emotions. Once again, that's really what attitude's all about. Whether or not I have spirit-controlled emotions. Whoa. Now, that's kind of funny in a sense because, see, every one of us have different temperaments. And when some of us think about emotions, we think about people who cry all the time. Others think about people that get angry all the time. Because some of our temperaments are that way. I mean, some folks are, and we call it highly emotional, but there's nothing wrong with that. Most folks need to be more highly emotional, in my opinion. Amen. Because if you were in service this morning and you didn't find a place to shed some tears, I don't know whether your emotion got surrendered or not. I don't know. I don't know if there was some extreme submission or not. I mean, because, you know, usually as of myself as a big burly man. I like to think of myself as strong, you know. I like to think of myself as I can control this. I can handle this situation. But in reality, most of the time I'm not. I'm not near that strong. I'm just like everybody else. When I'm in front of people, I'm strong. When I'm by myself, I'm crying. Because it's about to overwhelm me and I can't handle it. Yeah. If really truth be known, I'm probably a weeping person. I just try to hide it. But the thing is our emotions have to be brought under His control. It's that spirit-controlled temperament. No matter who we are, no matter what temperament we are, no matter how God's created us, He wants everything of how He created us, because He created us good. We are His creation. We've been created to worship Him and bring pleasure unto Him. So He's going to take every part of us and He's going to bring it into worship. We're going to offer it up to Him as worship. Hallelujah. In other words, when our emotions are about to get the better part of us, we're going to begin to worship God. You're going to find, oh my, this is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. A lot of times we may not understand that song. What that song is talking about, I fight my battles as a worshiper of God. Hallelujah. I start bringing my every thoughts, my every feelings. Hallelujah. Everything about me, I start bringing it under extreme. There we go. Extreme submission to my God with some extravagant love. Hallelujah. For what He has done for me. And I quit dwelling upon all those things the enemy wants to bombard my mind with that drive me down and down and down and down. And if I am not careful, I won't be a worshiper of God. And if, whoo, my, then I won't have any way to get up. How do I get up from where the devil's beat me down? I start worshiping my God. I start giving Him everything. My feelings, my desires, my mind frame. I start giving it unto Him. Hallelujah. And wow. Then things start changing. Worship is giving our entire self, our thoughts, our emotions to God's use, not mine. I don't belong to myself. I've been bought with a price. And so all of me belongs to Him. He knows hurt. He knows pain. I mean, He knows it all. I mean, He does. And I don't know if you've ever thought about it or not, but Jesus Christ had to deal probably with every emotion you'll ever deal with. Because we don't think about it a lot, but Jesus lost His earthly father somewhere along the way. And so He's had to deal with grief and sorrow and pain. Because there's no doubt in my mind, He loved Joseph. He loved Joseph. And He knew Joseph with His earthly father. And He loved Joseph and He honored Joseph. And everything He did, He honored Joseph. But somewhere along the way, Joseph passed. He was not there when Jesus entered into His ministry. So Jesus has went through sorrow. He's went through grief. Everything the Bible talks about, He bore our sorrows. He bore our grief. That means He went through it Himself personally. He went through it all. Every feeling, every emotion, every thought. I mean, tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. That means He's felt what you're feeling. And that's why He can help you and I in those times to bring us up above the shadows. The old song we sing from time to time, lift me up above the shadows. Lift me up and let me stand on the mountain tops of glory. Let me dwell in Beulah Land. You see, it's talking about that place, that cleft of the rock, that place in Jesus Christ, to where the Spirit of God can help us be that worshiper we need to be. Hallelujah. Oh, praise be to God. Glory. All of life. I'm preaching a little bit tonight. I'm sorry, I didn't get to preach this morning. All of life is an act of submission, an act of worship. Our service to God is not centered on a time, which is a reference like to a feast or the times of the Old Testament law, or a temple, but is done whenever and wherever we are, because we are the temple of God now. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah to the Lamb. So that means our worship is accepted whenever and wherever we are, because our whole life, catch this, our whole life, amen, is worship to God. That means, that's why the Bible tells us, whatever you lay your hand to do, woo, do it as unto the Lord. Why? Because it's worship. Hallelujah. And so that's why you, hey, oh, Jesus, glory. That's when you take up a task that is menial labor, hallelujah, like sweeping a floor or picking up trash or like picking up around a job site or like tying rebar in a pool, hallelujah. You do not do a haphazard job, because you are doing it for Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and it is worship to the King. And is that how you want to worship God? Miserably? Lazily? You got to think about it. Life is worship. And that's why the Bible says, you and I, whatever we lay our hand to, worship God. Hallelujah. With the way that you do it, you're doing it for the Lord as unto God, and not to please men. What's a man pleaser? Well, that's an individual who will work hard when everybody's watching, and when nobody's watching, they do nothing. But a worshiper works hard whether anybody's there or not. When they're all by themselves, hallelujah. I mean, this is the way I've done it in the past. You know, when you're doing that boring job, make it a game. Make it a challenge. I mean, if you're shoveling dirt, see how many times you can shovel a shovel full of dirt in 30 seconds. Don't do this. I tell you what, if I worked like that, I'd got myself my hide be tanned. Hallelujah. Praise God. You're looking at a guy that worked on a farm. And they realize real quick, you know, if you dilly-daddle around, you're going to be there all day and you're getting in trouble because you took 5 hours to do a two-hour job. That wasn't acceptable. Yeah. How we get on this? We're worshipers. Have you noticed lately? We're hiring. It blows my mind. Everybody I run into that runs a business says we can't find anybody that'll work. Why? Because there's not very many worshipers left. Oh, I, you know. When you start getting discouraged to the point you don't have midweek service, you start getting discouraged to the point then you don't have Sunday night service, you've lost the whole concept being a worshiper of God. We started Cover Lighthouse Church with 7 people in the Civic Center. And Brother Shelton, we worshiped God, didn't we? We worshiped God with 7. I preached to 7. I have actually preached to nobody. Via Facebook during COVID, there wasn't a soul in here. And I preached to nobody. I've never been one that had to have a crowd to preach. I've preached to the wall in my garage. I've preached to trees out in the woods. Why'd you do that, Brother Pepper? Well, I listened to a preacher one time. He said, if you're going to preach, you need to practice. He said he used to practice out by an old stump out in the woods. So I thought, well, if he can do it, I can too. So I preached some of my best messages just to me. Praise God. Why? A worshiper. A worshiper. Extravagant love. Extreme submission. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. All of life is an act of submission, act of worship. Our service to God is not centered in time or a temple. I like this. I trust this is helping you, but it's done whenever, wherever we are. Because we're worshipers of God. Because we are the temple of God. Now, word meetings don't prove what worship is, but they do illustrate 3 kinds of worship. So we're narrowing down here of servant's attitude number 3 on a servant's attitude toward worship. And now you're probably getting the picture. There's probably going to be 3 more attitudes about worship. Because worship, there's 3 kinds of worship. Worship that involves speaking. This is the one everybody loves. Worship that involves listening. This is one that we probably struggle with from time to time. And worship that involves doing. And this is the one that is the hardest of all. They kind of go in progression there of easiest to the hardest. Because it's easy to see. Because it's part of worship. It's easy to praise God. Because He's so great and has done so many great things. It's easy to speak words of praise and love and adoration. Now, when it comes to listening, listening. Yeah. And when you talk about listening, you come and you start staring the teenagers in the face. Ah, there's his face. Listening. Are you listening? Okay. What song did I sing a while ago? No, never mind. Are you listening? Are you listening? Are you listening? Amen. Listening is worship. Listening means you pay attention. You're attentive. I'm not going to deal with it a whole lot because I'm going to be dealing with it later. But these are three kinds of worship. From these scriptures that we've just read, there's worship about speaking, there's worship about listening, and worship about doing. This is all worship to God. This is why serious servants realize and understand it's not just a portion of our life, it's not just Sundays, midweek services that we worship. It's every day with Jesus we worship. See, now every day, and this is, you know, hopefully this will help us understand. You know, every day you may not go through the day singing a song. You know, every day you may not go through that day hearing anything from God's Word. You might even not go through that day reading anything from God's Word. I don't know. But I do know one thing. You're going to go through a day working. And your work should be your worship. And see, this is where we got to understand. Everything about our lives is worship. And so every day, we're going to worship. But you got to make sure who you're worshiping every day. Whoa. Are you getting that one? Who do you worship every day? What's your work ethic like? How lazy do you become? Do you do your duties like you're supposed to do? I mean, Brother Robert, do them kids wash any dishes like they're supposed to? Oh, man, pastor's meddling now because he heard some stories, you know, so he's just making mention of why he's preaching, you know. Well, man, why would he do something like that? What did you? Just worship. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, I want to do my best as a pastor, so I want to make sure you wash dishes like you're supposed to. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want to make sure you mow the grass like you're supposed to. Praise God. Oh, man, that got my toes. I still got weed eating to do. I may grab up Titus tomorrow and he'll weed eat for me. I don't know. We'll see how much he worships. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. I realize sometimes work is hard. Work is tough. Just remember, Jesus died so you could worship. So you could do it unto the Lord. And give you opportunity to be a child of God to worship him in doing. There is a worship that expresses the heart. And worship that involves the mind. And a worship that involves the body. There is a worship that is giving praise upward. A worship that is receiving instructions from above. A worship that carries out instruction in the world around us. We need all three types of worship. Some people focus primarily on speaking and singing praise to God. Praise is good. Once you understand, I'm not knocking singing praises unto God. But that's only a third of worship. Praise is good. But if all we do is praise God without ever listening to what he says, we have to ask whether we believe the words we are saying. If he is really all wise and all loving, then we need to be attentive to what he is telling us, because he is worth listening to. The word worship, I didn't have it in my notes, but it's just simply derived of two words, worth and ship. Worthship. Kind of like workmanship, sportsmanship. That means, you know, you do sports in a good way. Sportsmanship. Workmanship means you do work in a good way. Worthship means you are doing things in a good way because God's worth it. God's worth it. Wow. Praise our God. He's worth listening to. Similarly, all talk and no action does not show God the respect he deserves. Actions speak louder than words. And if our behavior isn't changed by God, then our actions are saying that God isn't important. He's a nice idea, but not relevant to our day-to-day lives. When we really believe that God is worthy of every praise, then we will be willing to listen and to change the way we live in response to such a worthy God. We will trust him and seek him and want to please him as much as we can. Worship should affect our behavior. Praise God. Glory. What is it? A settled way of thinking or feeling about someone or something, typically one that is reflected in a person's behavior. Attitude is everything. Because attitude is the right thinking in our minds of what worship is all about. Worship is all about God is worthy of my praise. God is worthy. I will listen to him. God is worthy that whatever work I do, I will do it to glorify him and to praise him in my work. Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. So, young people, if you ever get bored in your work, then just break forth into worship. Realize you're doing it for Jesus. Bring it to your mind. Sing a song to yourself. If you're in the schoolroom, don't sing it out loud. You get in trouble. But sing it to yourself. In other words, get your mind framed to the reality. It is time to worship my God. It is time to render this emotion of boredom to Jesus. Woo! Hello! Praise God! Amen! Oh, wow! Extravagant love. Extreme submission. He's worthy. He's worthy. He is so worthy. Glory, glory. Praise God. Could I have a piano player tonight? Amen. How'd I do on my time tonight? Sound man, go ahead and tell me. 1 hour? I'm getting better. Getting better. I'll try to do better. Next week we'll do 1.5 hours. Amen. Well, I know I can do more and longer now because you've learned what worship is, and listening is worship. Amen. We've learned that speaking is worship. I've been worshiping all this time. I love worship. Hallelujah. Praise God. Working? Ooh, that's a rough one, isn't it? But I'm the guy that likes to push mow the road ditch because it's hard work. I need a little hard work from time to time or I'll get lazy. Yeah, my kids wonder, why do you push mow the road ditch? Man, I got to get some work somewhere. I'm school teacher most of the time, pastor most of the time. A lot of times just sitting at the computer. I'm an accountant. Did you know I was an accountant? Yeah, I'm an accountant. I'm a secretary. You didn't know that? I'm a janitor. I'm the maintenance man. Ooh. Doesn't mean I don't have help doing this stuff, but I mean, these are just some of the hats I wear. Glory. But it's all worship. It's all worship. Somebody has asked, how do you and Sister Pepper keep up with so much stuff? Sometimes we almost pull our hairs out. Notice I said hairs. There's just a few of them left. She's got more than I do, but praise God. But then we always come back. Really, we do. That it's worship. It's worship. We keep up with it because it's our worship to God. It's what He's called us to do. Sometimes, yeah, it's rough, it's tough, it's hard to juggle everything, keep up with everything. But I really think, in all reality, we get it done because it's worship. It's worship. It's just what we do. And we do it for Him. We do it for Him. Hallelujah. I'm thoroughly convinced that if we did not have that mind frame, we'd not be in our 20th year at Calvary Lighthouse Church. We'd done gave up and moved somewhere else and done something different. Because it ain't hardly ever been easy. But He never promised it would be easy, did He? He just said, I'll go with you all the way. Hallelujah. Praise God. I never remember once when he dealt in my heart to pioneer this church that He ever told me it was going to be easy. He never told me it'd be easy. I'm the one that told Him it's going to be hard. But He never told me, oh no, it won't be hard. He just said, that's what I want you to do. Hallelujah. What's He want you to do? He wants you to worship. In whatever you're doing, He wants you to worship there with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, because that's extravagant love right there. It is. When you give it all, it's extravagant. Amen. When you try to hold it back from Him, then it's not extravagant at all. It's really not love at all, because love gives it all. For God so loved the world that He gave. Let's stand.